if you feel it in your gut initially, you feel that that motor really just whirring, like it's excited, and you can feel it. It's not something that you process up here. It's in your body. If you feel it, that is the start of your, let me pay attention. Now let me see what the universe is putting in front of me.
Welcome to the Side Hustle Lounge. If you're looking for flexible ways to earn income, grow your mindset, and live the lifestyle you've always dreamed of, you're in the right place. So lower the lights, grab your favorite beverage, and join your host, founder of NotaryCoach.com and Amazon best-selling author of Sign and Thrive, How to Make Six Figures as a Mobile Notary and Loan Signing Agent, Bill Soroka.
Cheers and welcome back to my next guest, Lise Cartwright. Lise is a best-selling author, a coach, creative strategist, and already a guest on the Side Hustle Lounge. Lise, thank you so much for getting up so early in the morning in Australia to hang out with us today.
Oh, you're welcome, Bill. Only for you would I be up this early.
It's funny how many times I hear that. If you want to get me on the phone, on a video call or a text, you got to hit me early. I love it. Well, I'm excited to have our conversation today. One of the things that I've always been drawn to with you is you're a fellow seeker, always looking for something new along the lines of personal development, self-exploration, how the world works and how we fit into it. And part of that is a mutual fascination with personality profiles. And that's really what we're going to talk about today. And you've found throughout many years, and now your latest find, and how it helps people, entrepreneurs, just human beings, kind of fit a little better into the world and get what they want.
Absolutely. Yes. It's been a journey, right? Like if I think back, I think it was this year that it's been 10 years that I've been in business. And I say business, it's such a weird way to describe it because I've changed and morphed my business so many different times. And I think that's an indicator of my personality, right? Like if we're talking about that. And everything that I do now is very much centered around a framework called human design. And you and I were just talking about this and we've talked about it in the past, but it truly has been the thing that has stuck, right? Like if we think about all the personality quizzes that you can do, all of those types of things, if you are like Bill and I, you are seeking, you're constantly looking for the thing that resonates the most and sticks the most. And up until, I don't know, March last year, StrengthsFinder was the one that had really stuck with me the most, right? If you haven't done StrengthsFinders, I still highly recommend it. Actually, that's a good thing I'm going to circle back to, but a kind of a caveat to anything like this is that I'm not saying that this is the be-all and end-all, right? Like this is the one thing that is going to change and be the answer because we're still human beings and we morph and change. But that is why I actually do really like human design is that it's not – it doesn't have these hard and fast rules. It doesn't tell you that you can only do things this way. What it does is it gives you a framework really for you to be able to make decisions based on what's right for you. So I really came to discover human design when the pandemic hit last year, right? Like we were all in this space and I just remember Googling something around decisions because I was struggling to make decisions. And as someone who doesn't normally struggle, I found it really disconcerting, right? Like I'd make a decision and then I'd change my mind the next day. And then I'd make a decision, change my mind. And it went on like that for 7 days straight. And I just remember coming out of that going, what is going on? Like I can't make a decision. And I think a lot of people will feel that, right? Like that whole time was just weird. And not that it's that much better now. It's just
right, exactly.
And for whatever reason, I landed on a blog post that talked about how you can make decisions when you understand your strategy and authority, which is kind of the starting point of human design. So if you're listening to this and you're like, I have no idea what Lisa is talking about, the number one thing that I encourage you to do is go to a website called mybodygraph.com, and it's free. Now, the only thing that you're going to need to know is your exact time of birth. And this is where a lot of people struggle because not everybody knows that. So if that's you, the best thing that you can do is, well, there's three ways that you can kind of figure that out. Is number one, if you're able to, call the hospital you were born in. If you were born in a hospital, right, not everybody was, right, they will have that record. Number two is to get your birth certificate and see if it has it on there. I don't know. Mine doesn't.
I think mine does.
Okay, yeah. So it depends on...
It's the only way I know.
Yeah, where you, if yours has it. And then number three is to actually work with an astrologist, as in someone who does horoscopes and birth charts and stuff like that, because they can actually narrow down to the hour that you were born. And if you don't want to do any of that, you can literally just go through and try different hours. So I would say try an early morning time, a mid-morning, lunchtime, mid-afternoon, and an evening time to see the changes in your chart, to see what the difference is. So in any given day, your strategy won't change, but probably your authority will, depending on the hour. So it is very much based on, it's your unique blueprint, right? There is no one person on this planet that is the same, even if you were born at the same time. Your charts in your gates and everything, like, anyway, it's a lot. But that's when you start, is just going through and learning that and then mastering your strategy. So, Bill, I'm going to stop here because I know I've just said a whole bunch of stuff. See what your questions are.
Well, I think I have a lot, and I'm not even sure exactly where to ask, except that what came to me was, well, and you kind of answered already, is like, what's the implication of being 1 or 2 minutes off or 1 or 2 hours off? But I think that goes back to what you said. This is super flexible.
Yeah.
But what if, let's even pan up a little bit further before we get too deep into it. What is, like, what's a good definition for human design? And then why is it important?
Yeah. So human design was discovered by this man called Ra. That's not his actual name, that's his chosen name. He's Canadian. Back in the 1900s, he's still alive. It's not like he's dead or anything. But it was a download that just came to him, right? Like any kind of inspirational thing. And it was just this entire download of these different types and authorities. And then it just kind of expanded. So it encompasses a lot of things like horoscopes, astrology, I Ching. So if you're familiar with the Chinese I Ching, and chakras. So there's 9 different centers in the body. And if you're familiar with chakras, they're the same, right? The centers are the same as what you would find in chakras. There's a bit of scientific backing behind it. So human design is 100% based on your exact time of birth and obviously date. When you are looking at your chart, it actually also is, it says that your design, right, your actual chart was created 3 months before you were born, right? So it, as far as you think about how a baby progresses in size inside the womb, it's at the 6-month mark that your personality and all that sort of stuff starts to develop, like it's starting to be hardwired. And so your chart is based on that time, right? So that's why your time of birth is important, because all of those pieces all kind of fall into place. It's really hard to give you like a definite, like high level overview of what human design is without someone really just looking at their chart, because it goes beyond normal horoscopes, right? Like it is based on, it's based on planetary alignment. So you'll see, when you look at your chart, you'll see like a body with the chakras, and then on either side are the planets. And then there's a whole bunch of numbers associated with it.
Could we look at my chart?
Of course. Yeah.
You think that would be okay?
Yeah, of course we can.
All right. Fantastic. All right. So we're looking at my personal body graph from mybodygraph.com. So tell me how, walk us through how to translate something like this.
Yeah. So when basically the two main things that you want to focus on when you first look at your chart is your type. And so if we look at Bill's, he's a generator. And then strategy, which is to respond, and then your authority, which happens to be sacral. Those are the kind of the three things to master initially, right? So when you're looking at this, and I would say strategy, more so than anything else, is the starting point for human design. So Bill, as a generator, actually, it's probably helpful if I walk through all the different types first. So there's five different types, which means there's five different strategies. Based around how you're meant to interact with the world. That's really what type and strategy mean. So there's a manifestor, a generator, a manifesting generator, a projector, and a reflector. And within each of those types is a very different strategy, as in the way that they're meant to interact with the world. So I think it's also helpful to understand that from a percentage-wise of the worldwide population, how many of us are each of these. So for manifestors, there's only 8%. So if you're, if you're picturing a room of 100 people, you're probably going to find there's only 8 people in that room who are manifestors. And manifestors are big thinkers. They are the people who are here to make something happen. So they literally can act on anything that comes into the world that excites them and lights them up. They can literally just go off and do. So that's what the manifestor is. So generators, there are 35% of the world population who are a generator. Manifesting generators are also 35%. And generators and manifesting generators share some similarities with some nuances. But we'll talk about that in a second. And then projectors make up around 22%. And then reflectors are only 1-2%. There's a very, very small part of the population who are reflectors. So let's start with Bill's chart, and then I'll walk through the other strategies so that if you're looking at your own and you're going, I don't know what any of this means, you've got an idea. So as a generator, your type, your aura is very open, right? So if you can imagine standing in front of a mirror and you've got your arms out either side, your aura, so your kind of your energy field, is that wide plus another arm on either side. It's huge. It's like 6 feet. And very open and welcoming. That's what the generator aura is. And so when you then look at that from a strategy perspective, which is what is there, it says to respond. And my generators sometimes struggle with this, because when you read more information about this, human design says you are to wait to respond. And particularly when it comes to business, people often say, well, what am I supposed to do? I'm just supposed to sit and wait around for to respond to anything. But what it actually means is, as a generator, you are not here to ever make something happen. And you'll know that you're trying to make something happen when you feel frustrated. So your not self theme is frustration. So anytime you're feeling frustrated, it is a sign from your body that you are trying to make things happen, which is not what you're designed to do. You are designed to literally respond to what the world puts in front of you. And it's a very slight tweak. We have all been, as a world, taught, the school system is very much based off the manifestor, which is to make something happen, right? Like that's how we're taught. That's how we kind of go through life, is we've got to make things happen. But for a large portion of us, right, that's not how we're meant to be. So when you look at this through the lens of your business, it's very much about making sure that anything that you go to create that is going to impact other people, You are making sure that you are creating in response. And so let's look at that practically, because again, all of this sounds very, how do you actually put this into practice? So Bill, right. Let's take your podcast, for example. If I was working with you, I would have, and you came to me and you're like, Lise, I have this idea to do this podcast. And I would be like, great. Can you show me where you saw some signs that this was for you to do? So what I mean by that is you are not designed to take a thought and instantly implement it without first confirming that you're doing so in response, as in you saw something come through your email that was talking about a podcast. So let's say it was like a podcast training or something like that. And you went, huh, that is interesting. I really quite like this, how that sounds. Let me see what else comes up. And then let's say someone reached out to you and said, Bill, I really think you should do a podcast. I think you'd be amazing. Those would be two clear signs for you to respond to. So as a generator, you are literally here to do the things that light you up. That's all you're here to do. And as long as you're doing that in response, then you're golden.
Let's talk about that a minute. Mm-hmm. And let's use the podcast as a great example, mm-hmm. because I feel like this was a couple years in of me receiving little gems, yes. or hints that, mm-hmm. this was going to end up happening. Mm-hmm. I bought the domain, Side Hustle Lounge, I think a couple years ago.
Yeah,
had no idea what I was going to do with it. Mm-hmm. I don't even remember this until I see them, but a few years ago, I had a video interview with somebody and I said, this is the Side Hustle Lounge. Mm-hmm. And then I did another one a year and a half ago where I said, this is the Side Hustle Lounge. It just tend to come.
Yeah.
And then I joined a very expensive high performance mastermind.
Yep.
And as I was, I wanted to be around other people who are doing things. And sometimes I'll just pick up on the energy of them. Mm-hmm. It's not even about the content, yeah. or anything like that. Well, on this one, it was all on Zoom because it was during the middle of the pandemic. Mm-hmm. In the first day of the mastermind, I'm literally with like the guy just comes up. He's talking and it just shot through me. Mm-hmm. Like, Side Hustle Lounge is going to be a podcast and you've got to start it right now. And then so would that be an example of me responding to something?
Absolutely. Right. Like, that is very much you acting in response. So it's not that you can't ever do things based on what you're thinking. Bottom line, as long as you are excited about it. So what makes you a generator, and I think this is helpful for anyone kind of going through this process, is you have a defined sacral. So when you're looking at your chart, that red square in the middle is the sacral. Yeah. And that is one of the two biggest motors in the entire human design framework. So the sacral is life force, workforce. When it's engaged, you literally have untapped energy to do the things that you are excited to do. So that energy is just always there. Now, what can happen, though, is because that energy is there and it's literally good to go, is that sometimes we will commit to things that are out of alignment, but because that energy is there and it wants to be used, you will do it. And how you can know that something is out of alignment, like that you've committed to something, is that at the end of the day, if you feel exhausted and just really burnt out, then you've committed to something that isn't in alignment. And now a lot of people listening to this will be like, well, that's how I feel with my job. And I'm not surprised because, like I said, if you think about generators and manifesting generators who have our strategies are the same. I'm a manifesting generator. So generators and manifesting generators together make up 70% of the world population. We have defined sacrals. So we have this workforce energy. So it's not surprising that you can get yourself into a job that you think you're supposed to do, right? Like we often land ourselves in these situations where we're like, oh, this is what someone's recommended, or this was the path that I committed to going down, so I'm going to go down it. But if you are constantly feeling exhausted, that is a very clear sign that you're out of alignment. And even more so if you feel frustrated. So when you're kind of looking at your type and your strategy, as a generator, it's very, if you can just remember, I'm here to do things that light me up first and foremost, right? But I just also need to make sure that I'm only ever doing in response. So when you hear the waiting to respond, if you can remove the waiting and turn it around and say, I just need to make sure that anything new. And so this is the other piece that people are just like, well, how does this really work? At the end of the day, if you can remember that, if you're doing anything that is going to impact another person, right? So podcast, for example, a coaching program, anything like that, you just need to make sure that you didn't think of this on your own, that you actually had some signs come into your world that confirmed that it's yours to act on. Because at the end of the day, that's really what this is about, is you just need to make sure that you're always responding to what the world puts in front of you. Once you do it, it's so much easier to do this, right? So let's say your chart comes out and it says that you're a manifester and your strategy is to inform. And the aura for a manifester is very small, in fact, is closed. And it's not that this is a bad thing, right? Like each of the auras is not designed to be good or bad. They just are. But for a manifester to be able to do the things that they do, they don't need anybody else, right? They don't need people in their world. They are very much designed to do things on their own. So their strategy to inform is simply that once they have the energy to go and do the thing that they're excited about, they just need to let people know in their immediate vicinity that it's going to impact. So they can literally get out of their way because they just need to, and they're very fast moving. But the difference between a manifestor and a generator is that a manifestor does not have a defined sacral. And so what that means is manifestors are not designed to work a normal 9-to-5 job because they don't have the energy, right? They're not designed to just work and work and work. They're designed to just do spurts, because they only have a small amount of energy, and it will largely depend on what their chart looks like. So when we're looking at yours, Bill, you have only 3 defined centers, as in they're colored in and everything else is white. A manifestor, what makes you a manifestor is that your throat center will be defined, and that is the one that's, you know, right where your throat is. That is what makes a manifestor. That's how you can kind of know. So from a manifestor's perspective, you literally can just do whatever you have energy for, as long as you've let people know around you that you're going to do something. So that can just kind of get out of your way. So then if you're a manifesting generator, your strategy is to respond and inform. So a manifesting generator has a little bit of the manifesting energy, more generator energy than manifesting. Again, will depend a little bit on your chart because everyone's chart's different. But I'm a manifesting generator. And so what my strategy is also to respond. But because I also have the manifesting energy, I move very quickly. And so manifesting generators and how they differ from a generator is that a generator is very step by step, right? Very much about mastery, very much about doing things in a sequence. A manifesting generator is not like that. A manifesting generator is someone who is going to figure out the fastest way possible to something. That's the design. But the strategy is very much also to make sure that I am only ever doing something in response. I can initiate, but again, I always have to come back to, if I'm initiating, I know that if it involves anybody else, I need to also just make sure that it's in response, that I've done things. And so for me, who is very much a creative person, whenever I'm creating things that involve other people, that's how I kind of think about it, is I just need to come back and go, okay, can I confirm where I saw an external indication or external sign that this idea that I have is actually for me to take action on? And if I can confirm that, and really you only need a couple of signs. I'm not saying here you have to have like 10 signs before you can kind of take action. It's very much about, can I just confirm? And so in any given day, for me, what I'm doing is, you know, when you're sitting there going, okay, well, how do I make decisions about business things? You can start your business. You don't need to wait to respond, right? If you are excited about it, like I'm talking really to generators and manifesting generators, if the business idea that you have, you're excited about, you can take action on it. But the minute that it now involves other people, right? So let's say you want to start this coaching business. So you go ahead and kind of map out your programs and you set up your website, all of that. That is fine. You don't need to respond. But the minute that you want to launch your coaching program, that is when you need to then step back and go, okay, I need to just make sure I'm creating this in response, that I can confirm that there were some signs that what I'm thinking, right? Because we don't make decisions up here. We make decisions in our body. I've gone through three. So let me...
Lise, real quick, yeah. Some of that confirmation that you're talking about, mm-hmm. I mean, could it be, you know, making sure that your audience actually wants it? Would that be part of that confirmation for you, or is that a different level?
Yeah. So when I'm working with my students and helping them kind of implement this, particularly for generators and manifesting generators and projectors, actually, because projectors are also having to wait. Manifestors are the only ones that aren't having to wait. Everybody else in the human design world has some level of waiting. It's very much about if you, particularly as a generator, manifesting generator, and projector, you literally are here to design, you're designed to answer questions, right? So any time that you are kind of struggling, if you're kind of stuck, if you're just like, oh my gosh, I can't see where I'm creating a response, that is the perfect time to survey your audience, right? To send out an email or to post a poll inside a Facebook group or, you know, whatever, so that you then have something to respond to. And I do this all the time. I survey my list every 90 days. But I also have a survey built in for anyone that joins my email list, just so that I can make sure that anything that I've got created is still in response. So that's a great question, Bill, is 100%. There, and generators in particular, you will have things to respond to if you pay attention. It's very much about paying attention. So data is your friend. Right, as a generator, data. So what I'm talking about there is pay attention to your Google Analytics, pay attention to your Google Search Console. That will give you ideas of, people are paying attention to this. Perhaps I should do something more with that. Right. So it's just these little nuances, but at the end of the day, if you are always doing things that light you up, right? Like first and foremost, for you in your gut is where the sacral is. Like that's your gut. If you feel it in your gut initially, you feel that that motor really just whirring, like it's excited and you can feel it. It's not something that you process up here. It's in your body. If you feel it, that is the start of your, let me pay attention. Now let me see what the universe is putting in front of me. Okay, I want to make sure I cover off projectors and reflectors. Otherwise, they're going to feel very left out. So for a projector, and I have a lot of projectors that I work with because projectors probably struggle the most because their strategy is to wait to be invited. And so it can be a little frustrating as a projector, but how that really works and shows up in your business is that projectors have a very specific zone of genius, and you will know what that is as a projector, right? You will know what you are a master at. You are here to simply show up and share that knowledge and share that wisdom without trying to get someone into your business, right? Like we're looking at this through the lens of a business. So what works really well for projectors is the invitation piece, right? So generators and manifesting generators are here to respond. You're here to be invited. And what that simply means that as long as you are doing the thing that you are excited about, right? Like as long as you are in your zone of genius and you're showing up daily. And what I mean by that is you are sharing your knowledge and wisdom, whether that's in a Facebook group, whether that's on LinkedIn, you know, whatever your social media platform is, or, you know, sharing that knowledge and wisdom on your YouTube channel, and then you're sharing that with your email list. People will invite you to work with them because you are showing and sharing your knowledge and wisdom. So projectors, and why they're called a projector, is they have this uncanny ability to just laser focus in on someone. So they are the people who really see you. And the reason why the strategy is to wait to be invited or to be invited is because they can see so much of somebody. Just because they can see it doesn't necessarily mean that the person on the other end is ready to hear it. So that's why the invitation piece is important. But an invitation could literally be an email showing up in your inbox with a summit invite, right? That's your invitation. Or you catch someone's eye when you're in a line somewhere. That's an invitation, right? Like, it's very much about paying attention to everything externally. So again, projectors are not here to make anything happen. It's very much about showing up and just trusting that the universe will put people in front of you who are ready to hear what you have to say, who are ready to hear your deeper wisdom. So yeah, so projectors I have found really struggle because, and you will know that you're out of alignment because you feel bitter, right? Like as a projector, your not self theme is bitterness. So if you feel bitter, it's because you're trying to make something happen and you're not designed to do that. You are simply designed to show up, share your wisdom, share your knowledge, and trust that the right people who are ready to work with you will reach out to you. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't promote, but the way that you promote is different to how a generator and a manifesting generator would promote. So for projectors, you would do extremely well to have a YouTube channel, right, where you get to share your knowledge, share your wisdom on an ongoing basis. And then all you would do is link to your programs in the show notes, right? Like that's literally all that you would need to do. And then reflectors, who are, you know, that small amount, people who are here to experience life. For a reflector, so if we're coming back to the chart, so if you ever look at someone's chart and they have everything is white, that means they're a reflector. So they have no defined centers, which just means that all of the open centers that you have on your chart, Bill, means that that's where you receive energy externally. So that's where you're impacted by other people around you. When your center is defined, it means that you have full control over that energy, and it's just always accessible. And you won't be impacted by others because it's defined. But when your centers are open or white, that is where you're going to be impacted by anyone around you. So as a reflector, because everything is open, your entire strategy is to wait a full lunar cycle, so a full 28 days before you're really meant to make a decision, because you need to experience everything. You literally need to go through every single center in your chart and experience the energy before you make a decision. So from a business perspective, you're very much not designed to move quickly. You're designed to just initially do things that feel good, but you need to experience and soundboard things, like talk things out with people that you trust, so that when you get to that end of that 28 days, if you still feel good about it, then you can take action.
Is this like analyzing and processing data, or is it more like feeling based?
It's feeling, right? So that's the biggest thing with the human design framework, is that We've just talked about strategy, but your authority is your decision-making center. So for like Bill, if we look at your chart, you are what we would call a pure generator, because what makes you a generator is a defined sacral, but your authority is also sacral, which means that you make decisions quickly because your gut is yes or no. There's no maybe. There's no black and white for you. It's either a yes, like hell yes, I'm doing this, or it's a not touching it. No, not at all. So it is. And the reason for that is our bodies are far more advanced than our brain. Like if you think about the head center, so there's two centers, there's the head center and then the mind. They are there to process information, to receive ideas. That's all the analytical stuff. But it's in silo up here, right? Like we're not designed to make decisions up here, yet that's how we're taught. Because for manifestors, they can literally do the things that they think of, but that's for them, right? That doesn't work for the rest of us. It's very much about trusting how you feel, because your body knows more and experiences more than your brain does up here in isolation. And that's why the strategy is in place, because particularly Bill, because you have an open head center, it means that you have an untapped resource of ideas, because you're literally capturing ideas everywhere you go, right?
True.
So true. And I'm the same, because I have an open head center. And so ideas are just coming at you, but it doesn't mean that they're yours to take action on, because they could be somebody else's, because you're just literally wherever you go, you're going to be impacted by those around you. So for you, the two-step process is, does my gut feel excited, right? Do I get that initial, right? And for me, because my authority is the same as yours, I have sacral authority and my sacral is defined. So for me, the experience is very much, it's just this feeling, right? Like this feels very good. Like that is the starting point for me. And then in terms of making a decision, I'm then going to go, okay, I need to make sure I'm doing this in response. If it's anything that I want to create, that's going to impact somebody else. So for example, I have a human design membership. You know, Bill and I were talking about this before, and that came into my, I'd thought about it for a while. Like something had come into me. I was like, I'd really love to teach people how to implement this into business. And so I had the idea, and I wrote it down, and then I just let the universe, I just put it out there. I said, okay, universe, if this is for me to actually take action on, send me some signs. And this is kind of the framework that you can use for yourself, is if you've got an idea in it, and that's for everyone bar a manifestor. Everyone else can do the exact same processes. You have an idea, great, write it down, and then just put it out to the universe. Is this for me to take action on? And then what will normally happen, if it is for you to take immediate action on, you are going to see signs coming at you within 24 hours. And so for me, what I discovered was something came into my email that was about like a membership. And that was what I was thinking about. It wasn't necessarily a human design membership, but it was just a membership. And I pay attention now. Like my brain is very much wired to pay attention now. I was like, okay, interesting. And then a website came up that was about human design, and they were talking about all these different products. And I was like, interesting. And so just a couple of things just kind of lined up, and I went, screw it. I'm gonna launch it out there. I did a very soft launch. And it resonated, and it feels good, right? Like I have the energy to do it, and it's not hard. And that's the key, is being able to just continue to do the things that light you up, that excite you, that don't feel hard, regardless of what your strategy or authority is. If anything feels hard, particularly in your business, then it's out of alignment. And we, as human beings, we can end up creating something because someone told us that that's what we should do, or we believe that this is the thing that we should do. And I know this because I've done it, right? You know, I can in hindsight, can sit back and go, okay, for the first 8 years of my business, I was really just trying to figure things out. And I kept trying different things based on what somebody else told me. I think what I really love about human design is that once you really do understand your strategy and your authority, those are really the two key points, is that now you have the ability to make a decision that's right for you, not what somebody else is telling you. Like you can, somebody can say something, but then you filter it, right? You then filter it through, okay, is this the right way for me to bring people into my world? Should I go and create a membership just because somebody said that that was a good idea? And those are still things to pay attention to, right? Like if someone is saying to you, I think you should do this, that's not something that you ignore, but you want more information, right? You want to make sure that you're receiving a few more signs. So for me, I know that something is right for me if I've received at least two signs and that I have the energy.
Yeah, that energy is a huge factor. I can relate to a lot of this, what you're saying. Mm-hmm. But I think there was a part of me too that used to doubt that.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And trusting the feelings, yeah, and things like that.
Absolutely. Inside.
It wasn't until fairly recently, mm-hmm, in life, the power of the yes, mm-hmm, when you just know that you're on the right path, is such an overwhelming feeling. But it's also, I think, more rare than we might realize. Mm-hmm. So the rest of the time, you know, life is happening that you're not feeling that overwhelming pull. Mm-hmm. So you're like, well, maybe I'll go ahead and try this, mm-hmm, try this, try this. Mm-hmm. What I've learned is if it's not that overwhelming yes, then it's a no.
Yes. Yes.
Because I got to taste a little bit of the, holy cow, this is it. You're going to do this. Mm-hmm. And I'll still, so this little idea will come up. And it's like, well, maybe I'll try that. And I'm like, no, I know it's no, because I don't feel how I felt that one time when I did this.
Absolutely. It is. And so that is the, with your authority, when you're looking at your authority, particularly when you've got sacral, because the sacral is not, there's no gray, right? It's a yes or a no, but it's understanding what a no could look like. And this was the piece that you struggle with, just because we've been conditioned to use our brain, use our head to make decisions. So I remember when I was first implementing this, I was like, okay, cool. I know what a yes is for me, right? Like I know what that is. I know how that feels. But then I would question the no. And so sometimes you will get an immediate gut response that is just like, hell no, get the heck out of Dodge, right? You know what that feels like. But sometimes it can be no response, right? You can literally feel nothing. And that is also a no. And that is the key, is that when you aren't getting like a definitive yes, then it's a no. And it's understanding that you don't allow this to step in and go, actually, you know, why, like, is it a no? Like, what is it? Like, don't allow that to happen. It's very much, if it's not a yes, it's a no. Or it's a not right now, right? So that is the other thing. So if you don't get like an immediate ugh, but you don't get the heck yes either, then it's generally a no right now. It might come back, and that I have experienced that where, you know what, you just don't have the energy for this right now, Lise, but in 6 months' time, it might come back into your awareness. So it's like this practice of being aware, of paying attention to what is going on around you. So much, very, very true for a generator and a manifesting generator, right? It is paying attention to what is happening around you that triggers your strategy, right? And for generators and manifesting generators, that is your sacral, right? Like if your sacral's an initial response is excitement, then that is the sign for you to start paying attention to stuff that is happening around you. Yeah.
Beautiful. Now, you mentioned a couple things, mm-hmm, as we were talking, where you're influenced by other people's energy. Are we talking about being an empath? Is that required? Is that not an element here? Did I miss the mark on that one?
No.
And how does introvert and extrovert play too?
When you look at your chart, right, like, and you see your anything that's open, so anything that's white, those are the areas that you are more often than not going to experience, pressure. So they're going to be pressure points for you, but also where you will take on other people's energy. So, Bill, if we look at your chart, head and mind center wide open, it means that there's like a low energy and a high energy for each center. So the high energy for you is ideas just coming at you all the time, like always there.
It's exhausting.
Yeah. You're processing all of those things. But the low energy of the head and mind center is worry, stressed mm-hmm. about making decisions, like that you can experience that. And then if someone around you has a defined head and a defined mind center, they might also be spurting a whole bunch of stuff at you as well. So this is why it's really important to understand your specific type, your strategy and your authority, so that you can filter all of that stuff. And then when you have, you've also got an undefined or an open emotional center and heart center, which are the two to the, like if we're looking at the chart, the two to the right of your red sacral. So the one that's directly to the right of the sacral is the solar plexus, which is the center for emotions. So when it's open, you have a fairly even manner, right? I'm the same. I have an open emotional center. So we experience emotions generally just we're even, right? Like we're not, it's not that we're unemotional. It's just that because it's open, we just have a much more calm presence. However, it does mean that we're also very empathetic because we're going to feel other people's emotions. So that explains a lot for me, right? Like I can literally cry at the drop of a hat if I see, because I immediately feel. So now I have to pay attention to filter through what is mine and what is somebody else's, right? So that's really what the open centers mean, is that depending on what is open and depending on what is defined, anything that's open, you just have to be aware that you're going to be impacted by those around you who have defined centers where yours are open. And then it's just always coming back to, if you trust your strategy and you trust your authority, you will always make the right decisions for you. But now you can start to go, okay, is this mine or is this somebody else's? And you'll know that because you can literally walk into a room and straight away feel how that feels. And you can be like, I was great, right? Like I was feeling good. And now all of a sudden I'm not. You almost guarantee that you've been impacted by somebody around you. And you don't even have to talk to them, right? Like when you remember as a generator and a manifesting generator how big your auras are, that means you're also impacted by someone 6 feet away from you.
Powerful. How can this tool, how can human design help with human communication?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. So as soon as I discovered this, I ran all of my immediate family through this because I wanted to understand what they were, but also their authority. And I think the authority piece, once you dive into that a little bit more, allows you to understand how somebody else makes decisions. And so from my husband, he has his authority is the emotional. So his is defined. And so what that means is in order for him to make a decision, he is not designed to make a decision on the spot. He needs a solid 24 hours to just kind of sit with it. Because when you have a defined emotional center, your emotions, and the way that I explain it is it's kind of like a lake, where you've always got like a slight ripple, relatively calm, but there's always like a slight breeze. But then when something happens, like you've got a decision to make, depending on how big or how small it is going to impact that lake. So if you've got to make a small decision, it's like a few pebbles falling into the lake and then the ripples spread out and then it comes back to a relative calm. So that decision, you know, that could be what are we having for dinner, right? Like that type of decision is like a small pebble. But let's say you're deciding to start a new business or you're moving countries or you're changing jobs, that is going to feel like this massive boulder has just been dropped into your lake and the waves are just going, and that can carry on for a while. And the boulder might hit the bottom, and so a whole bunch of debris might float up to the top. So what that means is that you will not make a decision until you're back to the calmness of your lake, as in you've got just a few ripples, and then you can really trust whatever decision you make. So it's very much about understanding how you feel in any given moment about whatever life is presenting to you.
That's huge. And I can see where it would help you just relate more to where other people are coming from.
Yeah. I mean, when I understood, because my sacral is my strategy and my authority. So I make decisions really quickly. And so how it plays out with us is that I'd be like, oh my gosh, he's taking forever to make a decision. But now I understand that, you know what, he's not designed to make a decision on the spot. He's actually got to weigh things up, and he's got to wait until his emotions are kind of at that calm place before he can trust that, like, he's a manifesting generator too. So his sacral will initially light up, but he can't trust the response until he's calm. I mean, he could be calm when that happens, but 9 times out of 10, that's not going to be the case. Someone who has an emotional solar plexus defined will literally experience emotions in any given hour, from high to low, right? Like, they can experience it all the spectrum in like any given moment. So it's helpful to understand that other people just make decisions slightly differently to you, and that you can't get frustrated. Like, so this is the key, right? Like, if I was feeling frustrated with him, it's because I'm trying to make him do something, and I can't do that. So yeah, it's been from just a human element, understanding how someone is naturally just designed to show up in the world and to make decisions makes things flow a lot easier, right? We don't have anywhere near the butting of heads that we used to, because now I understand. I'm just like, okay, well, I know that he needs at least 24 hours. And this is big decisions, right? I'm not saying for dinner.
Right. He doesn't need starve to death. That was the case.
Right. But for bigger decisions, or decisions that just are going to change your life in some way, I know that he needs a minimum of 24 hours before he can really be in a position to come back to me and say, yes, let's do this, or no.
Right.
Yeah.
So full circle. In the beginning, we talked about how some of the other personality profiling, Enneagram, DISC, Myers-Briggs, StrengthsFinders, I think you mentioned, all of those, a lot of people resist because they don't like to be pigeonholed into things. And then they talk about how, well, we're all of these things. We just have a certain place where we live. Mm-hmm. Is the same with human design? I mean, are we all 4 of these different types?
How it kind of starts, if we look at from layers. So the first layer is your strategy, right? So you're going to be 1 of the 5. Then the second layer is your authority. Now, there are 7 different authorities. So this is where things start to open up and start to show up differently. And then within that, we're not going to have time to talk about this, but then there is your profile. So you can see your profile says that you're a 2-5, which is the hermit heretic.
I can relate to hermit.
They sound really awful, but they're not.
I like it.
Yeah. I mean, the profiles is probably where like Enneagram, Myers-Briggs and all of that, you will see reflected in that. And your profile is kind of your personality, like the thing that you are day to day. Whereas when you look at your strategy and your authority, it's very much about how you interact with the world, whereas your profile is just who you are, how you experience things, still connected to your strategy and authority. Like, when you dive into your profile, you will see that there are elements of what makes you a generator within that profile. So when you start understanding that, you'll start to see, that's kind of what Myers-Briggs did, or this is what StrengthsFinders. Like, I've found that my top five strengths 100% show up in my profile in human design. Yeah. I think what I've found is that this is a framework. And I think if you can remember that it's a framework, it's a design to help you live your best life. At the end of the day, we have the choice to make the decisions that we want. All I would say is that if you're kind of resistant to anything like this, is that you give it a shot, right? Like, you go down the path of listening to your sacral. If you can look back in your life, and you just were talking about that, Bill, where you were saying that, heck yes, like, you know what that feels like. Any time that you've ignored that, or you've ignored the no and you've gone ahead anyway, it doesn't line up, right? Things don't line up. So this is very much about just sharing and teaching how you can actually live a life, not just a business, but a life that is actually easy and fun, right? Like, for you, when you are just simply following the signs that are put in front of you.
That brings me to what's probably my last question is, I think there's has to be people listening that might be resistant to this. They might be rolling their eyes thinking, oh gosh, there's astrology involved, or I got to know why does my birth minute matter, and those types of things. Have you heard that, and how do you overcome it?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I've had people who kind of discover this, and then they just kind of go, meh, whatever. Like, it's just like when you read your horoscope and you go, how can that apply to everyone? Like, how am I interpreting that? I think, like, really for me, what the difference has been, or what I've noticed, is that we're not, like, I'm not saying that I do this 100% of the time, that I'm always following my strategy and authority, because I'm not a perfect human being. I'm still going to make mistakes, but it lessens the mistakes that I make. So yeah, if you're kind of resistant to this, all I would say to you is just try your strategy, right? Because at the end of the day, that's the thing to try. And really, how hard is it to, if your strategy is to respond, to simply pay attention to the things that are coming into your world that you feel excited about? It's not difficult, right? Like, see what that looks like. And then I, like, kept a diary for a solid 2 weeks where I was just implementing my strategy. I didn't look at anything else, where I just went, okay, I'm just going to follow the responding piece. And when I did that, everything lined up, right? Everything was in alignment. Whereas when I allowed my head to make a decision, like my brain to just kind of go, I think this is what I want to do, then there was resistance and it was hard. I'm not saying that you won't have some level of success, because if you're amazing at what you do, you know, you're still going to be able to do things, right? Yes. But it will be harder, because now you're making things happen versus things just lining up. And so for me, I'm very much about, well, I want my business to be easy and fun. I want life to be easy and fun. So this is what has made things easy and fun.
I think what you're describing is high performers who do and accomplish great things, but they don't experience joy. Mm-hmm. So maybe you can be talented, you can be make stuff happen, but if you're not feeling joy in it, maybe it's a misalignment in what you're describing here.
Absolutely.
And also, what came to me is when you the theme, I think, is pay attention throughout this whole conversation.
Yep.
It's about just looking for cues, signals, evidence that you're on the right path or you're making the right decisions. Mm-hmm. And I was reminded of the intention experiments. Have you ever read those books by Lynn McTaggart?
I've heard of them, right? Like, I love to experiment too. So
it was really fascinating to me, but it was really just about, and I think it ties into, like, when people talk about the law of attraction and the reticular activation system in your brain and all of that things, I think that a lot of the times they're talking about the same thing, but it's about putting a concept into the, just thinking about it, opening your mind or the universe to what you're looking for, and then keeping your eye out for it. And it was amazing how it worked, like incredible detailed, like I wanted the face of like a tribal chief show up, and it just kept showing up in Facebook pictures of tattoos, of buffalo head nickel. All of these things started showing up, yellow butterflies all along the line, and just paying attention. You don't, it doesn't have to mean anything.
Yeah.
You get to control what it means, but just to know that you can shift your awareness like that when you pay attention.
Yeah. And I think really powerful. That is being the thing for me is like, you know, whenever you've got this, whenever an idea, like if we're practically talking about this from a practical perspective, like how you implement, everyone beside a manifestor, if you have an idea, write it down and then just put it out to the universe. Send me some signs and then see what happens. Pay attention. Yeah. And literally signs could be anything. It could be you being out for a walk and you notice like a poster in a shop, and something in that poster triggers the thing that you wrote down. That's something to pay attention to, right? Like it is very much awareness and paying attention to what the, you know, universe, God, whatever you want to call it, is putting in front of you to then filter through, okay, is this actually something that I'm excited about, that I have energy for, right? Because just because it initially piques your curiosity doesn't necessarily mean that it's something for you to take action on, but it's just the practice of paying attention and seeing how you feel is the starting point.
I find too that when you continually get those signs and you ignore them, the universe doesn't really appreciate that either, right? I've had some amazing ideas where I didn't take action, and it's like somebody else got them. Yeah. I look at book titles, I look at businesses and ideas I had, and I wrote them down in my journal. And then they sat in that journal for 10 years. And then somebody else, I mean, some of them are $1 billion companies right now on the concept I had 20 years ago.
That's what
Do you find that as well?
Yep, absolutely. Yeah. Like the universe isn't going to keep banging it against you, right? Like you have to pay attention. And if you don't pay attention, then somebody else will get it, right? Like it's even more so when you have open head and mind centers, right? If you feel the energy to take action on it and the signs have lined up, do it. You have the energy.
I think Victor Hugo said it best. There is nothing more powerful than an idea whose time has come.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
It's going to come.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that. Lise, this has been a fascinating conversation. I've learned so much. I have a couple pages of notes here. This is definitely something I'll keep and keep exploring for sure. And anybody who is listening to Lise right now and curious about how this works, Lise offers a free custom business plan using human design. You can reach out to her. I'll give you her website as well as just hustleandgroove.com/HDIN. Intro, basically. But don't worry about that. You don't have to remember any links. Just visit the sidehustlelounge.com/VIP. Join the VIP room completely free. I'll have all the links to Lise so you can connect with her and learn more about human design and how you can apply it in your business. Make better decisions and take action. Lise, thank you so much.
You're so welcome, Bill. Thanks for having me again.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for listening to the Side Hustle Lounge podcast. You know, if you follow me on Instagram and social media, you already know that my pets play a huge role in my life, and I include them as part of the family. They are part of my why. Dexter and Violet bring so much joy and love into my life that I always want to make sure that they are well tended to and healthy. That's where my Toto pet insurance policy comes in. Toto was voted best pet insurance company in 2021 by Forbes Advisor, and it's known as the pet insurance company with a heart and without the gotchas. There's no network of obscure vets that I'm forced to choose from, so I get to pick my pet's doctor. And then, depending on the policy I select, I can be reimbursed up to 90% of the vet bill. And they make it easy to use. You visit any vet, you submit a claim, you get cash back. It's pet insurance, finally, done right. If you'd like to support the show, get coverage for your own fur babies, and maybe even give yourself some peace of mind at the same time, get an instant quote today on Toto's easy-to-use website at sidehustlelounge.com/Toto. That's T-O-T-O.